think the biggest hurdle that we need to be able to cross, especially working with the micro lending platforms, because really this is micro lending, this is not like a bank loan or something, is trust again. What we found is customers, okay, so I want to access credit. There was we test ran for like a month an option on the website where you could pay 25% upfront and stagger the balance 75%. You get the product immediately, but then you pay. And then in trying to pre-qualify, you know, customers for that facility, because when you click that, it opens up in a different portal to say, oh, give us this very quick documentation for us to validate that you can afford to repay, right? And then customers get to, again, there's a lot of maybe sensitization and education still needs to happen. So customers get there, they fill in their names, addresses, no problem. And then you say, filling your BVN. Like, my BVN. No. Do you want to scam me?
Hi, guys. Welcome to the TechPoint Africa podcast. My name is Ogenyerumo. And I'm sure that you're wondering, what's going on? Who is this new face? Like, because I know you guys rarely see me. And, but yeah, this is me. Hi, everybody. You're not going to get Bolu or Chim Gozrim or Emmanuel or Nifemi on the podcast today because, well, it's me that's going to be talking to you guys. And today we have a really, really interesting topic we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about teleshopping. And so I'm not going to, like, you know, give a... I'm not going to do any... what's it called? I'm not going to do any behind... I'm not going to expose anything that's going to happen. The people we have in studio today are going to... you know, do justice to that. They are experts. Let me call them experts. But yeah, today we're talking about teleshopping. Teleshopping is basically you ordering goods from using your phone. You maybe see an ad on TV, you call, and there's a number, and you're supposed to call that number to order the goods. So that's basically what it is. And currently in Africa, the teleshopping market stood at like 112 million in 2017, and it's projected to even grow higher than that soon. So without further ado, so that I don't talk plenty English, let's meet our guest today. So
hi, everyone.
Hi, hello.
Hello. My name is Olajumoke Kujero, country manager at ShopX TV. I have my colleague.
My name is Oyedamola Olani, head of marketing at ShopX TV.
Okay.
Thank you so much for having us.
Welcome to the TechPoint Africa podcast.
Thank you. Thank you.
I hope you guys, you know, found your way here safe.
And we did. And in fact, your intro, I was wondering, I mean, so what's there left to say? Like, she's already.
You know too much.
Don't worry. We'll discuss a lot. We'll discuss a lot. So don't worry. There are going to be a lot of things to, you know, talk about. Because I think this is a really new... channel in the Nigerian space. People rarely talk about. I think you guys are one of the first.
We are the first. So, Nigeria in West Africa. Yes. In West Africa. I dare say in East Africa. I'd say in Africa, maybe South Africa.
South Africa has
like a teleshopping. They're familiar with teleshopping for rest of Africa.
Right. Okay. So I don't jump the gun. Maybe you guys can, you know, explain what teleshopping is to our viewers, so that they...
Fantastic.
Okay, cool.
Sure, fantastic. I mean, I'm going to build on what you said already. So, teleshopping is basically e-commerce, right? It's e-commerce with TV at the center of the value chain. You know, where with e-commerce, you're looking at strictly digital channels. There is a crossover with teleshopping, where you're leveraging TV, the TV audience, and you are inserting basically that interest in TV into the e-commerce value chain. So what it basically means is, I'm a TV viewer. I love to watch TV. I put on my TV, I see an ad. Now, you can run it, there are two different ways you can run it, and I'll, you know, talk a little bit about that. So the traditional teleshopping model that you find in the US with companies like QVC, you know, in the UK with companies like High Street TV. That there are dedicated TV channels that anytime you go to that TV channel, the shows there are 30 minute exposes of products, life-changing innovative products. So rather than a soap opera, you know, or a series, you know, it will be a product on show for that 30 minutes. So you have a throughout the day, different products, you know. So the aim is to get you the customer through the entire customer journey in 30 minutes. Mm. So, you know, for those who are familiar with marketing, you know, you hear about awareness, consideration, interest, purchase. Teleshopping seeks to get you through that awareness, consideration, interest, purchase in 30 minutes. We at ShopX currently, we do it in three minutes.
It's amazing. It's not done anywhere else in the world.
In the world, because it was early August, early August or late July, we were at the ERA conference. It's basically this conference where you have all the teleshopping product owners and businesses, media houses, you know, come together in Amsterdam. And I was speaking to some of my, you know, international colleagues. And when I told them, look, we're airing 3 minutes infomercials in prime time. We're like, I'm sorry, what? Can I see what that looks like? It's amazing. So anyway, we do it in 3 minutes here because, you know, the infrastructure required to set up your studio and actually run a TV station. The phase of the business we're in, we're not there yet. So we're in the soft launch phase. Does it even work? Would it work? Yeah. It doesn't make sense investing that much money. We need to find out it doesn't work.
Yeah.
So we've been testing for about 2 years now. And yes, it works. So that's, you know, I don't want to let the cat out of the bag for the next phase of the business. But yes, we're going there. So that's it.
I'm actually curious about the next phase.
It's buying stuff off TV. So you see the ad. You see me talking about it. I state the problem statement. I say, oh, do you have this issue? Do you find it hard to wash your clothes,
for instance,
with your hands, you know? And then I have somebody else come on the show to say, oh, yes, I've been trying to wash for the last 2 years. Now, this is me just giving, you know,
an idea
of what it is, you know. Oh, I've been trying to wash for 2 years. It's so hard. Washing jeans is so crazy, you know. And an expert comes and says, oh, do you know that 3 people every year, their hands get
broken.
washing jeans. And you know, people are like, oh my God, yes, I had a neighbor who was in a cast for 3 months because he tried to wash jeans, you know. And in having this conversation, the audience is supposed to start to see themselves like, it's true, it's tough to wash jeans, you know. And then, you know what, we have a solution for you. And then introduce the product. And then we show you how to use the product. And we say, call right now, you'll get a special discount, and then the call start coming. That's what it is.
And I think what is so interesting about teleshopping ads is that it shows you how to use the product right there. Like, you're just you don't need to think too much. This is how you use the product. This is how you buy. And when you buy, you can get it within 48 hours, sometimes even 24 hours in Lagos. Yes. That's one of our
which for us is the, you know, I talked about how parts of the business model already answers some of the African market problems. Is that trust issue. Our customers feel like they've seen the product, they've used the product when they watch our infomercials. So that barrier is broken.
You don't get a what I ordered versus what I got. It's exactly what you see that you get. So that, and I think even us running the ads on TV as well makes us known as like a trustworthy brand. So you have a lot of Instagram vendors selling all kind of stuff and then scamming people. But the fact that we're on TV has built that trust with customers as well.
So that's what it is.
So how do you shoot 3 minute videos? Like, you walk me through the process, right?
Yes.
Like, how does that work?
Thankfully, you know, when the business launched in 2020, we had the privilege of onboarding some of the world's best brands in. So these products we sell are seen on TV products. They are products that are suited to the teleshopping model. You can't sell everything by teleshopping. The product needs to be innovative. It needs to solve a particular challenge. It's tough to sell an everyday run of the new product. Remember, we said you need to build up the value of that product over 30 minutes. So we onboarded brands like Coffee Chef, like Nutribullet, XM. And they had their 30-minute long-form commercials, and they had 3-minute short-form commercials that they were pushing via YouTube, via other digital channels. We took that and then adapted it for TV. So what we do is we take the assets already existing for some of the brands that we use or that we sell, and localize it. So where you have a foreign model in a 3-minute ad, maybe you'd have 5 foreign models up here. We reshoot the scenes where they're occasions. Mm-hmm. We shoot the voiceover, so we transcribe the entire thing, mm-hmm. rewrite the script and localize it. So mm-hmm. for a Copper Chef ad, for example, where the ad is talking about, you know, how you can make your steak, you know, meals that are not local, mm-hmm. you know, to Nigerians, we switch it over and mm-hmm. we say try change your love rice, you know, and we localize it. So mm-hmm. we basically redo the video, and then we redo the scenes with the foreign models, right? We have created an all Yoruba infomercial with foreign colleagues, because we have, you know, a few of our colleagues, you know, abroad. They don't understand what the video is saying, mm-hmm. but it's exciting, like the energy, mm-hmm. you know, it's exciting. So, mm-hmm. so yes, that's what we do currently. I'm going to talk about, I hope I get the chance to talk about our first long form, because we shot a proper long form.
We'll get to that. But what you just said, like, sort of reminded me of, I think it was last month or so, the APCON, yes. I call them APCON, mm-hmm. came out and said,
yes,
no more foreign models, no more foreign voiceover artists. Mm-hmm. And when I saw that, I was like, first of all, my first thought was, how many ads use foreign models? How many ads use foreign voiceover artists? But as I was, you know, talking to other people, they're like, some use people from other African countries, yes, mm-hmm. so they would fit into that foreign model. Mm-hmm. Some use voiceover artists from foreign from African countries.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, maybe it sort of makes sense.
And I feel like some of the, I mean, would this impact? There are some ads that appear on some of the cable networks, for example, that are, you know, South African ads with white people.
Mm-hmm.
White
mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. I'm not going to mention the cable network. You know? So, you know, you get some of the ads that mm-hmm. are meant for the South African market.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that would impact it as well as possible.
I wonder how, because that's going to be, I think they're supposed to comply by October 1st.
Yes, October 1st. I mean, we've been ahead of that game since.
Yeah, so it doesn't anyway, affect you guys. So why this, you know, bet on teleshopping? Why are you doing teleshopping, especially in a market like Nigeria, where there's right now we are supposedly in a recession, although everybody is trying to not admit it.
Yeah.
There's very little spending power. There's a lot going on. So why this bet on teleshopping, especially in Nigeria?
I mean, so now is as good a time, you know, as any, because the recession, inflation concerns are not specific to Nigeria. It's a global thing,
mm-hmm.
right? I think more than ever before, consumers need to be able to trust that the scarce resources they have, you know, are being spent on, you know, goods quality and products that can actually change their lives.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's quality. You'd agree with me that the e-commerce landscape generally is fraught with complaints. So what I bought is not what I got. Mm-hmm. They are scamming us. You know, you see the word scam thrown around, you know, a lot. You go to the average e-commerce businesses and social media pages, and you see comments, you know, on posts. Even when the post,
my
has
product was
to
not
do
delivered.
With, you know, my product
was not what I thought it was going to be. I mean,
it was fake. You know, all of that. I think for us, you know, and without sounding self-serving, we are not the average marketplace, because we want to be able to control the kind of products, you know, we bring in one. Mm-hmm. We want to be able to, you know, beat our chests. We have a 30-day money-back guarantee. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure anybody else can come and say, if in 30 days,
you're not satisfied with the
product, you're not satisfied, or any of the claims we made, you know, you found to be false, we turn it, we beat our chest. ShopX is the only business I know where you have that, you know, offers a pay on delivery method where you have 95% of its customers opts to pay upfront. Mm-hmm. Our customers pay upfront. They enter their card details and they pay. Again, remember, by the time you are paying, you feel like you've seen the product.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why pay on delivery is pervasive here is a step to try to, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Businesses get to Nigeria and the model just changes. Uber came to Nigeria. Uber doesn't do cash anywhere in the world. Anyway, you just have to adapt mm-hmm. to my country. You know, there's rumors. There's rumors Amazon is coming. I want to wait to come and see how Nigeria will bend. How Nigeria will bend them. You know, so
Nobody does that. And we're really proud of, you know, that result. Customers would sometimes pay. You say, okay, but you know, no, I'm not at home. When I'm at home, I'll call you. Mm-hmm. You know, people buy for their mothers. So I think for us, that's really important. So in times of recession, inflation, people still keep buying. People will shop. People will buy things. It's just now, I must get bang for my buck. I cannot afford to buy, say, a pair of a set of cookware. And in 6 months, I just say, you know, I would be mad if something, you know, the tolerance I had to bake, you know, poor products before was not this. I'm still buying stuff. You know, it's just I must get value for my money, and I think we're able to offer that, you know, above most of the other e-commerce businesses.
And it's really, really exciting to see the kind of feedback that we get from customers. We always get feedback from customers. What I ordered is what I got. I'm really excited. And to be honest, our products are not cheap, and they're not cheap for a reason. Mm-hmm. They are quality products. And when people order it without even seeing the product, and then they come back and say, oh, what I ordered is really, really good, really, really great quality. It's really, really heartwarming to know that the work we are doing is paying off. Mm-hmm. Paying off with the customer.
Yes, 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 correct.
Customer satisfaction is our ultimate goal. Yeah.
I have a question.
Yes.
Well, before I ask my question, we are going to take a quick break. We're going to look at people that pay our house rent.
Very important.
Hi, I'm Abisola Adenoga, the head of business at TechPoint Africa. Did you know that you could present yourself as a reputable brand leader? Did you know that your business can get the limelight it deserves? Now you do. Using TechPoint Africa's marketing tools, we can put you in the faces of a large audience for brand awareness and thought leadership. To do this, reach out to us by sending an email to business@techpoint.africa or click on the link in the description below.
Hi guys, welcome back. So we've been talking to Oyin Damola and Olajumoke. I want to call you guys like shorter names because I'm just wondering.
Everybody calls me Ola, really. I think we call her Oyin.
Call me
Oyin. Okay. Perfect. Ola. So we've been talking to Oyin and Ola, and we've been talking about teleshopping. And so it's been an interesting question. And before the break, I was going to ask Oyin and Ola question. So right now there's a lot of buy now pay later. Everybody's talking,
yes,
buy now pay later, buy now pay later, buy now pay later. So do you guys have plans to do stuff like that? Does that model even work for something like teleshopping at all?
It's a fantastic question, because I think the mainstay of one of the key parts of the teleshopping model abroad is buy now pay later. Teleshopping products generally are not cheap because they are value. They are not run-of-the-mill products you just find around Computer Village and other places. Mm-hmm. So they cost a bit of money, and the idea is to have customers, you know, be able to pay installmentally for them. We did test out, you know, with a small payment provider, a small credit, you know,
payment provider.
Yes, you know, we're still in testing phases. It's something we're definitely going to do. I think the biggest hurdle that we need to be able to cross, especially working with the micro lending platforms, because really this is micro lending, this is not like a bank loan or something, is trust again. What we found is customers, okay, so I want to access credit. We test ran for like a month an option on the website where you could pay 25% upfront and stagger the balance 75%. You get the product immediately, but then you pay. And then in trying to pre-qualify, you know, customers for that facility, because when you click that, it opens up in a different portal to say, oh, give us this very quick documentation for us to validate that you can afford to repay, right? And then customers get to, again, there's a lot of maybe sensitization and education still needs to happen. So customers get there, they fill in their names, addresses, no problem. And then you say, fill in your BVN. Like, ah, my BVN. No. Do you want to scam me? I mean, it's better to be safe than sorry, right? But then we try to also pass information to say, look, no, nobody's scamming you. So you need to, this is what you need to look out for, to be sure that, you know, entering your details, you know, in a platform are safe. Look for the SSL security certificate if there's a padlock. And people are like, I'm not entering my VPN anyway. And then you spoil the matter when you say 3 months back statement. Why are you looking at my account? And then you have to explain that. Okay, how am I sure you can pay me back if I don't look at your account? And then your BVN also tells me a bit about your financial history.
Yeah.
Are you owing other people? So it's not enough to see how much you earn every month. Could that money already have been promised to other, you know, facility companies or loan companies, you know? So those are the things. When my money is complete, I will come and buy it. So that happens a lot. Microlenders, I think that there needs to be a lot more education. One, that nobody's trying to scam you. For credit to work, you need to divulge, you need to give up your financial information, right? So the way around that is we started talking to some of our banking partners to open up, you know, our store to their pre-qualified customers. We have banks like GT Bank, for example, that have the quick credit, you know, scheme. They pre-qualify customers, you know, already. So if you have the GT Bank app, it will tell you that you are pre-qualified for certain amounts. You know, so it means it might take a bit of time because you need to then have good coverage across the big banks. By the time you know you have 5 of them on your book, you say, look, Bank A, expose me to your customers. Mm-hmm. Bank B, you know you have good coverage when you've covered 5 of them. So that's our approach. Now, while the microcredit industry, you know, is still gaining, you know, a bit of credibility. And it's not helped as well that you have some of the smaller loan companies, you know, the drama that happens. So person's a criminal. So people are very wary of that. We've gotten feedback from that as well. So customers saying, so that you people will now put my obituary. I'm like, but we won't do that. You know, so
tell my family members that I'm wanted.
You know, so while the micro lending industry is still, you know, trying to find its feet, we're gonna go through, you know, the banks and let's see how that goes. But definitely we have to offer that.
That's an interesting angle to, like, you know, go through, because I don't think a lot of people think about that kind of angle, because that already solves the problem for you. You don't have to worry about people not paying you money. You know that these sell people, they've taken loans and they're going to pay you back.
Yeah,
that's how loans are doing. How do the bank
honestly,
already?
That's the only way it can work in Nigeria. Yeah. That's really the only way.
Yeah.
Because if you try to do it yourself, you're going to be running your business at a loss.
You have to be. So there was a business I worked with. Travel company, I know you mentioned their name, but they have this very popular product. If I mentioned the product, but you know the company, Pay Small Small, right? Pay Small Small is financed entirely by the business. There is a separate purse. You have to be well funded, like well funded to be able to run microcredit facilities by yourself for your business. And you also need to have the infrastructure on ground to chase your money back, to chase your money, especially when, like for us, so for that business, for example, you do not get the ticket details released to you until you finish paying. So that ticket is kind of like a collateral. And then when you pay the first installment, it's non-refundable. So if you like, don't finish paying. We use that money to reclaim your ticket back from the airline.
Makes sense.
Our case, you have to ship the products to the customer, you know, first. Like, do I get repo men to go get your pots and pans back in case you bought pots and pans? You know,
that's never.
So that's it. So the best thing for
even if you get it back, you can't even sell it. It's pretty much useless. Yeah.
So that's it. A lot of the even banks, they get collateral from you. If you get a car loan, the car is the collateral. They get it back. You know, in our case, the products are not valued that high enough. The resale value is not worth it. So we don't have that much money yet. I say yes.
Right. No, of course. Okay.
By God's grace.
Yes.
So I still have one more question about buy now, pay later. But because now I'm wondering, there are already companies like, say, CDCare that offer buy now, pay later. Is there a possibility, would a partnership with a company like that actually work for you guys? Because I know you already mentioned that it's not a product you can sell on teleshopping. And sometimes you still have to prevent this customer. So would a partnership with maybe a buy now pay later company like that work?
Yes, I mean, so that was what we test ran. But you know, the way we wanted to, and I think maybe, I mean, let's see. So two things. One is to go into like a full partnership where, I mean, for me, what will work would be to work with a micro lender that already has an established presence. You know, marketing is strong, people know about them, you know, so that when you say ShopX in partnership with so-so person, they lend some of their already earned credibility to, you know, to it. Because the way we attempted to do it was to mask the provider, you know, behind ShopX. We wanted the customer to feel like we're facing ShopX, you know, squarely. So, I mean, that might work, which is why we're going through banks. So we said, look, banks already have your information. Because, you know, the biggest issue was, I'm giving somebody my BVN. The bank already has your BVN. Has your account details, has your account statement.
Your history.
So I don't need to. Shay, the problem is I'm asking you, I'd be great. I don't have to ask you. Yeah. Your bank has it. Your bank has said, so if you are pre-qualified, for example, your bank just sends you an email to say, look, you can access the products of this business. So don't worry, we got it covered. And it's coming from your bank. So, but yes, definitely. We still maybe need to test run on a small scale with a micro lending company that has its own established presence, because we do need Nigerians need to be reassured, you know, with credibility, a name that they hear. They need to have been seeing your billboards around for a long time. Maybe if like a business like Kuda, for example, you know, it's popular, they've been able to establish, you know, their brand presence in a very short time. Maybe if they had like a final business, but I know CDK is electronics mainly.
They sell other things as well. I think they sell laptops, they sell beds, they have sell mattresses, they sell a lot of things.
Okay.
But let me not do that.
You've done already.
Okay. So I know we've been talking about it a bit. I think we talked about it even before we started recording about the whole e-commerce market. Yes. And people say e-commerce is dead. I don't know if I agree, but
it's not dead though. It can't be dead. It's just rising.
Okay.
So, I mean, if it was dead, why would a brand like Amazon be considering coming?
It's not even that. Is the that's the way forward, and it's only going to evolve. You know, it would. I know that it's going to definitely evolve from what we have currently to more immersive experiences. There will be a lot more technology that bridges that I've not seen or felt the product, you know, whether it is, I don't know, some kind of crossover, VR, AI, you
metaverse.
Know. Yeah, you know, we're going to be metaverse shopping. Really soon. And that's still e-commerce because you're not physically actually seeing the product, but your avatar is there. The avatar of the thing is there. You're trying it on, you know, and all of that there. So, no, it's not dead. Technology is going to keep finding ways to, and again, the jury is out on whether that's good or bad, to keep finding ways to reduce human interaction as much as possible. That's what you really, that's what it is. Technology, yes, finds ways to bring us together in a way that we don't really have to be together. Just look at metaverse, we just talked about. It's supposed to drive community, you know, but
there's no actual physical
you know. So you're on social media and you feel like, oh my God, I'm popular, you know, like I'm reigning. But really, when you think about it, when you think about it, you know, I mean, there was this funny, I don't know whether it's true or whether it was just for the, you know, there was this influencer who had invited people.
I saw that.
In my head, I was like, oh yeah, it was such a rude shock. you feel like, so e-commerce is not dead, definitely not.
It's evolving. I would say it's evolving.
We are definitely going to continue to buy things online. We're definitely going to, you know, continue to buy, you know, and it's going to get bigger and bigger. You know, we're going to, the things we buy online, the kind of transactions we close without physically seeing.
Our shopping experience is going to change. Like, I mean, I was just thinking of live stream shopping, the Panda type.
Why are you letting cats out of the bag for the future of ChopX? Why? So it's only going to change. I think for Africa, we're still playing catch up quite a bit. You know, there's still a lot of things we haven't even done. You know, the Amazon was 2, 3, 4 plenty years ago already doing drone deliveries and all of that.
I think Jumia is trying to do drone deliveries now with Zip, and I think Bolu wrote an article about that.
Yes, let's see. I really want to see. I'm excited, you know, if it works, because something I like about Jumia as a business is they go ahead, pioneer, and kind of give everybody else a template. Does it work? Does it not work? That's the thing with well-funded businesses. go and do it and let's see, you know, how it works. So yes, it's exciting. But a lot still needs to happen, sha, for it to become fully established e-commerce in Nigeria.
And I think some parts of the value chain needs to be much more improved. For example, logistics. I think that's definitely one thing that all businesses will say that they struggle with in Nigeria. I mean, I'm glad that we're able to fulfill customers' orders when they say, when we say 48 hours or 24 hours. But I mean, I wish it can be better. I wish it can literally be like in 6 hours and people can get their delivery. So that needs to be better. The way it is much better or much very, very fast in the Western countries. I think that needs to be much better here as well.
It's interesting that you talked about, you know, being able to deliver quickly. Because I know that you guys keep your own inventory.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and I think the last time we talked to you guys, I think we talked to Isi Abebe, the founder of Stropex, and he was like, that COVID-19 affected you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I'm now wondering, did the whole Russia-Ukraine just affect you guys as well?
I mean, it affected the whole world. Everybody felt it. Yes, we keep our own inventory. We launched in the COVID year of our Lord 2020. So the business started in January, and by March, everybody was in lockdown. So you can imagine while, you know, the team was, you know, really enjoying themselves, call center, physically buzzing, you know, all of a sudden you had to go remote. Yes, we hold our inventory. All the issues with shipping out of China, packs. Tax us as well, because, you know, since COVID hit, China has not remained the same.
Yeah.
You know, since then, most of our products come from China. So yes, definitely impacted, you know, the business. But what we've seen is COVID also helped in that while, I mean, generally what you see is while, like I said before, while customers are necessarily not giving to as many frivolities as before, because with 2020, quite a number of people lost income. Very sure what was going to happen, you know, so people became a little more tight-fisted. They started looking for alternative ways to make their money last, you know, and we came in around that time. And then thankfully as well, because the products we launched during that period were fitness, you know, healthy eating, healthy cooking, you know, COVID was also a good time. People started remembering they needed the home treadmill, you know, they started jogging, taking up Pilates and yoga, you know,
baking bread,
all kinds of things,
right?
Yeah, you know, so our products really answered, you know, questions that people were at home. People needed. All of a sudden, people realized, the handles of my pots have broken. You know, so made. This is what you've been using to cook. You know, so it helps, and thankfully, we've been able to sustain momentum even post COVID. Again, careful selection of products. We're not doing too many things at the same time, so that we could, you know, be very intentional about products we serve the market with, you know, and just customer service as well. Again, we don't want bad reviews. We don't want people saying, you know, it's harder to convert a disgruntled customer than to keep one who's already happy.
Yeah.
You know? So we're learning from the mistakes of, you know, some of those that have gone ahead of us. You know, really. So Russia, Ukraine, everything affected us, but we are standing and celebrating 40,000 customers in 2 years.
Congratulations. Okay. So I think you guys raised money this year. 600.
Yes, it was a convertible round. Yes.
So I know you guys also talked about launching in Ghana. You talked about having a dedicated DSTV channel.
Yes.
You talked about a lot of things. So how has that been like?
I mean, yeah, so quite a lot of it is still work in progress. I mean, we've used quite a bit of that money to solidify our relationships with our partners, you know, secure inventory, because there's now a war for inventory. There's supply chain issues across the world, Russia, Ukraine, you know, China. So it's really survival of the fittest, you know, who can get the money in faster. So we secure some inventory. We're looking to launch our own products as well. So
We
have a few samples that have come in as well with, you know, my brand. So I'm really excited. That's one. Ghana, yes, we did test in Ghana earlier this year. A few select, you know, products just to see how the market will respond.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are some problems in Ghana, like there are problems everywhere across Africa, you know. So some of it is infrastructure, logistics, outside of the major city, which is, you know, Accra. Logistics is quite, you know, we can think about logistics here.
Mm-hmm.
It's even worse, you know, over there. Payments as well is not as advanced as you find in Nigeria and Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
It can still be a bit, you know, it can be a bit better and seamless, you know, for customers to be able to pay, you know, for products with their phones or online or digital. So it was a good test because we sold out the products that we took to Ghana at the time.
Yeah.
I mean, at this time, we're trying to see how we can. So we need to fix payments. We need to fix infrastructure for us to be confident enough to pack ourselves to Ghana. Maybe send me.
To go ahead, Ghana. Anyway, you want to send me? I'm ready to go.
But yes, it was a good test in that the customers responded very favorably to the TV ads. But you know, we had someone on ground who was constantly troubleshooting deliveries, troubleshooting payments, you know, bank, do you have the money? So we need to overcome those two, and then yes, we're ready. We have other things, you know, we're always cooking, so we're always cooking things.
Chef Drummer.
We're always cooking. Chef Isi. So Isi's my boss, you had mentioned it earlier. So.
Oh God, the top.
We are the sous chefs, the assistant chefs in Isi's kitchen. So yes.
So it's interesting that you talked about payments, and it's like a nice segue into our FinTech Summit that is going to be holding in November at Four Points by Sheraton. We'll be having several interesting discussions. We'll be talking about how to make wealth with fintech products. We'll be talking about how to accept money from, if you're a freelancer, how to accept money abroad seamlessly. We'll be talking about so many interesting things. So you can just go to fintech.techpoint.africa. You can get your tickets there. We have early bird tickets on sale right now. So don't tell me I didn't do anything for you, because I'm giving you good news. Oh, early bird tickets. You're not going to spend as much as you spend if you don't buy now. So just go to fintech.techpoint.africa, and everything you need to, you know, register and go look through the what we're going to be talking about at the event, and you'll be fine. So yeah, back to
that. We should be at the conference.
Yes, you should.
We should be there. It'd be fantastic.
You see, people are already coming. Yeah. So you talked about your long form
infomercial. Correct.
So yeah.
Yes. Woo, finally. Okay. So
the moment you've been.
Right? I've been itching. Okay, so for 2 years we've been in the soft launch, you know, model, like I said, you know, doing 3 minute commercials. But we thought to ourselves, okay, you know what?
It's time.
Let's do this. So we said, okay, what would it take for us to produce our, you know, first long form infomercial, you know, like the show I described, where you see two experts, you know, an expert and, you know, a presenter talking you through the product that you're about to buy. And we worked with the best of the best of the best.
Absolutely.
For the first, Nigeria's first infomercial, we have our presenter, the delectable Mercy Johnson.
Short two. Okoje.
Yes, two. Mercy Johnson Okoje was on set. Well, she was our, you know, presenter. I love Mercy because she's a Nigerian superstar who has, I think, successfully morphed into this. From Hollywood, Nollywood. From Nollywood, it's girl, you know, to Nollywood, it's mommy, it's mommy and it's homemaker, right?
Mm.
So she was the perfect person to cast, you know, to introduce our Copper Chef products and our Power XL air fryer product. We worked on the Power XL air fryer product with Chef Tolani, Diary of a Kitchen Lover. She's an Instagram sensation. And she's, you know, we've worked with Chef T for she's like our pioneer influencer. If you go to like old YouTube videos, you know, you always see her there. So So the two of them, Chef T and Mercy, teamed up to bring, to reintroduce the Power XLA fryer to Nigerians. And then we worked with same Mercy Johnson along with Chef D.
Yes,
I think Chef D is your own favorite.
Yes.
Yes.
So please,
so
Chef,
there are comments. No, we're not even kidding. So
no, you need to.
We will post clips on, because we started posting clips like teasers on social media. You will see, please, is Chef D married? Like, focus on the pots.
Like, well, I mean, we are serving you compa chef.
Focus,
yeah.
On the pots. Focus on the pots, my dear. Don't lose focus. You know. So we're in the final stages of editing. We're going to be airing the infomercials from the end of this month. DSTV channels, about 4 DSTV channels.
And TVC as well.
So watch out for press releases, you know, on it. But definitely. And we're going to be sending press releases to Tech Point.
Okay.
When we launch it. So I'm pretty excited. I can't wait to see people's response, you know, to it. I know definitely, you know, Nigerians are special people. I can't wait to see how people bombard Mr. Johnson's Instagram. I want to buy the pot. Even though we've told them where to go and buy it. I can't wait for the drama that will ensue, you know, but we're super excited about it, you know, and we're super excited about it.
And just to give some context as to why we have like 2 people on each set for each video. So, you know, the American version, or maybe, I don't know if you've watched the American version, but you always have like a chef, especially for kitchen products. Mm-hmm. You have a chef and then you have like the host that is acting as the voice of the customer, asking questions that you would typically ask. Does it stick? If you hold the handle this way, would it burn? Can you do this with it? Can you bake with it? Can you do whatever with it? So you have. So that's where Mercy came in, and then that's where Chef Tola and Chef D came in. And I'm really, really excited to see it on TV. Yes. It was a lot of work putting all of that together. Jumoke can testify all the craziness that went on in the background before we got to that point. So it would be really, really exciting to see that on TV.
And of course, the next step for us from that would then be to be able to bring that consistently every day on a TV station. Where you know you can tune in, you are, you know, bored, you're watching TV, or you're just tired of the same old content. I won't mention them. I have some of those kids. You're tired, you know, you can always find something
new
interesting product to experience. So that's the thing, it's experiential. It's like experiential marketing on TV.
This reminds me, because I watch a lot of K-drama, and I think I've seen...
You are one of them.
I think I've seen... I know that it's sort of a big thing over there. Yeah, companies like you that focus on teleshopping and stuff like that. Yeah. So I'm sure that people that watch K-drama, I'm looking at you people.
K-drama people. K-drama.
Yeah, so you guys will be a bit more familiar with
this. Yes.
So I'm just wondering, like, that entire process of, you know, putting together the information, what informed it? Because you already told me that you guys already, you normally do 3 minutes.
Yes.
And why do this, is it 15 minutes?
It's 15 minutes. We're evolving them into 30 minutes. So it's 15 minutes traditionally, but we're going to be airing it in 30-minute segments. So there is a 15-minute show combined with another 15-minute show together, just to keep things interesting.
So what informed that whole, why not stick with the 3 minutes?
3 minutes, okay. Yeah. So 2 things. First of all, like I'd mentioned, the traditional teleshopping model is a full show. Where, I mean, there's only so much you can say in 3 minutes. There's only so much of an experience the customer can have of the product in 3 minutes. I know those are 3 minute commercials. We air them on prime time, you know, and you can imagine what the cost, you know, of that would be in today's, you know, Nigerian TV landscape. So we're going to be airing our 15 to 30 minute commercials off peak, so in the evenings, you know, which when people are, you know, chilling, come to see TV, and then, you know, you want to get them thinking about, you know, the next innovative product to buy. So the key thing is, there's only so much you can say in 3 minutes. A full 15 minute show gives you a lot more to experience as a customer. There's so much to say. We do not cover a fraction
like
all the things we
5%
that product can do. So our 15-minute infomercials not only tell you about the features of the product,
how you
they
can
go eat. Ahead to cook meals. So the show, the Power XL Air Fryer show, maybe 10 different meals. You can bake a cake. They baked a cake in an air fryer. They made shawarma in an air fryer. They made chips, boli, you know, all the locally enjoyed foods, you know, they made it. So when you watch 10 types of meals being made in the air fryer, at least two resonates with you.
Yeah. I mean, if but if it doesn't resonate, we can't help
if you don't eat shawarma. If you don't eat shawarma, you eat boli. If you don't eat boli, you bake cakes, you know, if you eat chips, you know. So
yeah, that's small chops.
Small chops, you know. So because the thing is, customers, when you say, oh, this can do this, this can do that, customers are like, it's nothing like actually putting it in the air fryer, waiting and bringing it out. Like, see, that's what it is. You know? So
That's what it is. That's interesting, and it will be interesting to see how that pans out.
Yeah.
Because I'm wondering, I'm looking forward to how that will work, like how that would affect the business. Because I know as I earlier said, you guys had made 2.0. How much in sales? 2.1 million.
Yes.
In sales. So, like, how is this? How do you think this is going to affect the business?
So, it's going to bring even more value because we're not stopping our prime time commercials. So, same operational efficiency still runs. This is an add-on, you know, onto it. So, remember, we are exiting the soft launch phase, transitioning into the full business model. So, we're taking it on bits at a time. Right, so we continue to operate the way we always have, you know, that has been profitable for us, excuse me, in the past 2 years, and then we start to test it. So, this is in addition to our currently, you know, our current model, right? So, we know it's going to be successful because our TV partners, for example, they don't know why it's taking so long to edit, you know, let's see what it is, because the truth is. Nigerian TV needs new content, fresh content, something different.
Yeah. You
know? And like I said, it's Messi Johnson. So, you know, anything for like viewership and ratings. So we're also looking to contribute positively to the viewership and ratings.
Nice. So, so this like brings me to something that I've been thinking about for about like getting a dedicated channel. Because I know that's how it works. In other climes, yes, I guess in a dedicated channel, wouldn't that be more helpful? Like, you know, people can just maybe they are just bored, like you said,
and absolutely. They
go there, and that's all they're watching. Yes. And so, why not just do that?
That is where we're going. That requires, you know, quite a bit of funding to do. It requires quite a staffing requirement. You know, there's a lot of
to have your own studio.
There's a lot that goes into you know, setting that up. And the approach we've taken, you know, which I think I mentioned a few minutes ago, was take it on, you know, bit by bit. That's definitely where we're going. The middle ground is at the 15-minute infomercials launching. The next step, you know, will be that.
Yeah,
we'll be doing another round of, you know, fundraise for us to be able to and you know raise real money for us to be able to you know do that. But we want to have, you know, had a track record of successes, you know, with the little things.
Don't that be when we go to investors, lock that down good. Do the long form, it works. Lock then, that obviously down good. Then,
you know, so
having
it just,
like a dedicated
just
channel
makes sense.
Makes more sense.
So the investor hurdle. It's easier to cross when you have a track record of having succeeded incrementally. You know? So yes, that definitely is the model, and that's where we're going eventually. Who knows? Maybe we launch like an IGTV channel.
That
IGTV
like
channel, right? Like a YouTube TV channel or something.
All day.
When I mean, write I it down feel like to do list. IGTV.
I feel like even that might even be. First, before you then get to the point you know, where you do like the old DSTV
I see
channel.
Tech points. Help
the idea.
You should pay us. You should pay us.
So yes, definitely.
Yeah. So we've been talking a lot about, you know, the good things. Now we're going to talk about the bad things.
is there any
bad? Oh my god.
No, we'll see there's none.
Okay. I see. There's a gang up, but it's nice. God. But really, the e-commerce space in Nigeria is not a it's not a simple business. It is absolutely. So not. There are so many issues. People talk about pay on delivery. People talk about logistics
quality
issues.
Of the product,
yeah.
Logistics.
People talk about trust. Mm-hmm. So like, what has that been like, especially for you guys? It's mm-hmm. like an entirely different, not entirely different, but it's like it's completely different from what people are used to. Yeah. So how has that been? Like, what have been the challenges? How have you been able to move past those things?
Okay. It's a really good one. I'm going to maybe just take the different parts of the value chain. Mm-hmm. I think the first one is if we had a family, we would source locally new products rather than having to ship products in
exchange
China. Yeah, exactly, because you know, that way we can hedge our risk against inflation, dollar fluctuations. You know, it's not been funny because you bring in goods at a certain, they cost a certain amount in February when you brought them in. By the time you sold out the stock in April, it's a different amount. Dollar is a different, so you cannot restock the same stock you bought in February. You get so, and how much margin really can you, you know, put on your cost of goods that will not impact your customer negatively.
And Nigerians are very, very price sensitive.
Price sensitive. You know, so they will calculate it for
you. They will calculate everything. They know what price was like 3 months ago or a year ago, and then you then come and change your prices. They're not going to.
So, you know, I wish as a Nigerian that I could, I had, you know, I had local sources of quality products, you know, to sell. The manufacturing industry needs to step up to help me.
That's a major
to help me, you know, that's one. I'm not even going to go into the value of the naira and all of that. I will leave that to the financial experts to talk about. But that's another one, you know. So, of course, when you are buying products in dollars, it's, you know, it's crazy. That's one. You know, the cost of doing business in the country as well. And again, this is not unique to e-commerce. I think this is just in general. The cost of doing business in Nigeria, there are a lot of hidden costs that you do not you know, account for, that come up, you know, and you have to, you know, account for. Logistics, big problem. It doesn't matter whether you run your own logistics or whether you use a third-party logistics company. It's the same thing. Last mile delivery is a headache for many reasons. Infrastructure, just addresses, proper town planning. Let's start from that. When you order goods, maybe in the US or the UK, you order goods from Amazon, the only time you hear from your delivery agent is when they ring your bell. It's when they ring your bell to drop the package.
But my country.
It's a bit, our country.
It's a bit different, you know. They call you, I did for your gate. Where you did? Where, you
but they
know?
Don't even call you before gate. I am at so, I'm coming. Are you at home? How do I get there? What is your address? What is the landmark?
Returned, not delivered, you know. So, you know, that's one. That infrastructure is not there. And then, I don't want to say, you know, the people as well. You know, there's a certain level of, shall I say, collective education and enlightenment that helps, you know, just businesses. I think that there's a lot more that needs to be done there as well. I mean, we've been able to. Payments hasn't been as tenuous, you know, as maybe would have been 10 years ago, you know. But we still have issues, you know, there. Interconnectivity issues, downtime, payment down. You know, there's just infrastructure again. Downtime. Oh, payments are not going through. You know, issues like that. Trust. I think we've done a bit better with it. We've done a bit better with trust. Again, like I said, because our advertising, quote unquote, is experiential. So I really don't have any complaints there, to be honest. Our customers trust us. They love us. They get good products. We don't get complaints. When we do get complaints, they are maybe, should I say, unavoidable things. Like, oh, when the box came, the guy, you know, simple stuff that oh, we're sorry, we'll replace, you know, the parts, yeah. You know, no, oh, you said it's not scratch, but it's scratched, you know, stuff like that. That never happens, you know, so, I mean, there's the good and the bad. I will and not
there,
say.
I think there are ways where we've solved, or maybe we're still trying to solve. I think, for example, logistics. Mm-hmm. For us, we don't rely on one logistics partner. Have we have like numerous ones. That's why we're able to meet the delivery timelines
for different parts of the country. Yeah. So we have at least two or three logistics.
So we actually deliver everywhere in Nigeria.
Two or three logistics companies per zone or area. So we have a. Are you able to meet SLA? You know, because we have it 24 hours strictly. Sometimes it spills over into 48, but within 24 hours, if you order from ShopRite, you get it.
Delivery is very, very key for us because we understand that when people buy their products, they want it as soon as if they can get it in the next minute that they pay, they would love it. So that's why we pay a lot of attention to that.
To that, correct?
Right. So now, there's something that people say that the e-commerce space is largely unregulated because, for one, we have really outdated laws covering it. So, like, do you think that is like a good thing or a bad thing?
It's a mix of both. Can there be more regulation? Yes. Is there no regulation? That's not true. There's regulation. There's the Nigerian Information Technology Development Agency that's been tasked with regulating in e-commerce activities. We have, I think, either we've just done it or we're still in the process, you know, of a data protection audit.
Yeah, NPR.
We get conversations. We have conversations, you know, with them often enough. You know, they want to be sure that we're protecting customer data because e-commerce really leaves people vulnerable. Ask for a lot of information, card details, address, phone number, you know, everything. So there is, you know, that there isn't like centralized e-commerce regulation, but there's regulation. There's a Consumer Protection Council that you know helps to checkmate you so that you don't mess customers up. There's NAFDAC if you're bringing in a product that's classified as a food or drug, you know. So there's the CBN regulations for payments, you know, and all of that. So there are the value chain is regulated in
different
in the different parts, but there's no like e-commerce regulation. Is this a good thing or a bad thing? I say neither. I'm neutral to it. I feel like maybe we're just not mature enough yet for it. There still needs to be a lot done in the sea. Regulation is rich and all encompassing when there is enough quote unquote data to work with. Enough has happened in the industry for you to be able to say, oh, this happened here, let's include it so that it will not happen again. We're still getting there. I'm really, you know, I really want to see the e-commerce businesses do a lot more, mature a lot more.
Yeah.
Hopefully have Amazon even come. I don't know, I'm one of the people who just can't wait for Amazon because, see, there's something about competition, good competition. It opens up the market. And everybody benefits from it. That's the truth. Yep. Everybody benefits. So I think we're just on my journey.
And they are doing really well. Everybody will try to set that as the standard. And obviously, it just makes things better, especially for the customers as well.
I think we're not mature enough for it. For like e-commerce regulation. But trust me, we are regulated in the different, you know, parts of the value chain of e-commerce. So yeah, very soon it will happen.
It's interesting that you mentioned... You mentioned competition. And it's something that was just rolling through my head. You guys are the first to do
teleshopping.
It.
Teleshopping,
yes. So, yeah.
So what happens when other people come in?
They should welcome.
They are welcome.
We will be there with a handbook of what to do and what not to do.
Do you know the interesting thing about being the first to do it? People come and learn from your mistakes. You've basically paved the way. I mean, you've evolved and all of that. People paved the way for
it's a good
you pretty much paved
be.
The way for other businesses to then come and
it's a good position to be as a market leader. Right? I mean, I look at all the industries where you have clear market leads. Jumia is market leader, still the market leader. You look at telecoms, so it's a good position to be. You are the first loved by the customers. Everybody else, you are the benchmark as far as they are concerned. If you're doing it well, you know. So if someone comes in, it now becomes a they are not doing it as well as these guys. You know the you tested the market. You know the market better. You are able to even respond to that competition more nimbly than you know the new guys. So, welcome competition. Mm-hmm. Before they come, we'd have locked down all things.
Of course.
No airtime for
you. But yes, welcome from definitely.
Right. So really, like, what's the end game for ShopX? Like, where are we heading to now?
ShopX, we're gonna take over. So 40,000 customers, we definitely, we're looking forward to our 100,000th customer. But you know, even beyond that, we have we're looking to evolve the business model as well to include some of what, you know, our customers have already shown us that they like, which is social media. Trying to marry the shopping experience with social media. Don't want to. I feel like this is the thing we're having this conversation.
I mean, we've already put out a press release about it, right?
You know, so very soon we're going to be going to the market with a daughter of ShopX, you know, called Penda. It's a song, I think. But why? Aren't we feminists? This is a tech. We don't talk about like women's rights issues here, do we? No.
Yeah.
We do. No. Don't mind me. So it's a androgynous offspring of ShopX.
Okay.
You know, that marries, or that will marry, e-commerce buying and selling with social selling.
Basically social commerce.
So social commerce.
Interesting.
And we're powered by Alibaba. Alibaba is on board full time. We're still in the like technology development phase of it. So we're looking to launch it first quarter of next year. And we'll be inviting it's the first social selling market. It's a marketplace, right? But it's not like, you know, the others, because it's social selling. So where the others would have you open up a store and list your products and sell, you would open up a store and drive sales of your products with live videos. So you will come on the platform, you know, and say, hi, guys. In fact, you will tell your fans, every day at 2 p.m., meet me here on Penda. You know? So we are integrating Instagram with the tools you need to add to cart. Yes, with e-commerce tools.
So basically,
it's Instagram with e-commerce.
Within the app, you'll be able to make your purchases without leaving the app, literally while watching the live stream.
If you're watching a live stream, you can add to cart, you can place the order and fulfill, you know, for you. Like, so that is coming. That is coming. The infomercial, of course, is rolling out. We're going to be building our studios, maybe test running, you know, on social media. ShopX is definitely going to be the first customer on Penda. So you'll be seeing maybe Oyin behind.
I'm ready.
Set up like this.
I'm ready for my influencer type status.
So, okay. You know, so there's a lot coming for us on the horizon. There's the fundraise, you know, the offering. So there's a bit of that. We're looking forward to serving more people. Definitely. And our own products.
Cool. So while you're talking about social commerce, I know that Bumper recently announced an integration with Instagram and all of that. And while you're talking about, just like, so this is a bit different because now you're doing live, so it's not just, it's more experiential.
Yes, we want to stay within the ambit of video and experiential. So we want you to be able to say, hi, I'm a makeup artist, but I sell, you know, makeup products as well. I want to show you guys this rouge lipstick. A rouge lipstick, and look, this is not, the pigment is rich, and as you're applying it, people are like, ah, it's rich. You know, they order, you know, if this is too loud for you, I have pink, baby pink, what do you think? And people are commenting saying, oh, do you have a deeper pink? Show me. And like, oh, I see your comment, don't worry, I have a deeper pink. Show you order, just go to, you know,
so
stuff like
live
that
streaming.
Live streaming, exactly. But with the tools for your viewers to be able to add to cart, check out, enter card details, pay, shipped out to you.
Interesting. I'm just wondering now, like, I'm supposed to stop talking, but like, yes, it is in my head. But like, does that really solve the trust issues? Because sometimes people will be like, You people can edit it and stuff. Like, so why should I believe?
I mean, it's live streaming.
It goes a long way. Mm-hmm. So would there still be doubters? There will always be doubters. Okay, let's take a look at Amazon. Amazon is, of course, still faces trust issues, right? How have they been able to overcome some of this? You have amazing returns. Their returns policy, second to none. Do you return the item? In fact, you don't. Sometimes you don't need to return the item. Keep the item. They give you back your money, right? They've tried to make the flow easier to access, you know, and just easier for the customer to feel like you got me. You know?
Mm-hmm.
There would always be doubters. You can't talk to everybody at, you know, address every concern. What you want to do as a business person is ensure that you can reach at least critical mass with those that trust you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I believe definitely that's what we, because we've seen it work with Shopex. Experiential video, and that's not even live. These are recorded, you know, video mm-hmm. ads. We see them work. So not to talk of like a live video where if you drop a comment, the person will say, I see your question. You know, is it waterproof? Yes, of course. In fact, I have water here.
Mm.
Dabs it on her lip to see the tissue is clean, you know, mm-hmm. stuff like that. Oh, I brought something like it cracked. Ah, it's not this one. You know what? Let me rub it on my hand while I'm talking. In 20 minutes, I'll show you. It didn't crack, you know, mm-hmm. so stuff like that. Mm,
right. Okay. I have other things to say, but let me not say it. Maybe we'll talk about it later. Thank you guys so much. It has been really interesting listening to you guys talk. And thank you everyone for watching up to now. Thank you so much. If you're watching us for the first time, don't forget to like this video, subscribe, comment, tell us what you thought about it. Tell us if you have questions for Oyin and Ola, please feel free. Yes. Drop it in the comment section. We'll send it back to them and they would, you know, answer your questions.
Yeah.
And so thank you so much for watching to the end. This video will be available on YouTube. Obviously, that's where you're watching it, so you'll see it on YouTube. And we also have this on Spotify. I'm not going to talk like Bolu, so don't expect me to do all those Spotify, Google Podcasts, not me. So you can listen to us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere else you get your podcast. I think I sound like Bolu.
I was going to say, you just sounded like, you just said you wouldn't do it, but you had it. Bolu's spirit is strong in the studio.
Well, yeah, thank you so much. TikTok people will see you, Instagram people will see you, everybody will see you. So, yeah, bye, everybody.
Bye.